Welcome to the Hidden Healing Podcast, The Heroine's Journey. This podcast is just for you. Yes, you, you beautiful soul and kindred spirit, with a gentle heart who, because of life's circumstances, have been hurt, neglected, and left in so many ways to fend for yourself because the adults who raised you weren't able to be what you needed or provide you what you needed in the early years of life. I have a hunch that you, my friend, have worked really hard to have a good life and to provide one for your family, and you've succeeded, but you still aren't feeling connected to the people in your life or fulfilled, and you're always meeting other people's needs, which never allows time for your own needs. You've likely already done work on yourself, so this journey isn't new to you, but you know that there is more to be done. In this podcast, we'll talk about how complex trauma robs you of joy and connection, even into adulthood, until you do the inner work. You may be wondering, what more is there to be done? Well, let me tell you. Helping others on the journey of healing from the impact of complex trauma is my passion. I have spent the last 5 years really digging into what specific aspects of healing will bring the biggest impact in life and how to open the doors to more healing and connection so that you never feel lonely or disconnected again. So listen in as we discuss complex trauma and how you have the power to change how you feel and, yes, change your life now. This episode is brought to you by Clear Concepts, Courses, and Coaching. Do you ever wonder if you've experienced complex trauma? Find clarity with my free mini workbook. It's designed to help you identify complex trauma and figure out if you could have it so that you can break lifelong patterns that may be keeping you feeling stuck and alone. This resource is your first step towards healing and recovery. So get the mini workbook to start uncovering answers today. It's straightforward, it's supportive, and it's yours for free. Begin your journey to understand and to healing now. The link is in the show notes. I have been thinking about what this week's podcast is going to be about. I want to continue with the stages of healing from complex trauma, but something's in my head right now, and that would be quality of life. Today, a woman at the grocery store commended me for walking the cart back to the store after I loaded my car with my groceries, and I said thank you, of course. She was actually pouring on the praise, so why did it break my heart? And then, why was I at the store anyways? Well, I was getting food for a cookout for the solar eclipse barbecue that we were doing last minute. And obviously the solar eclipse wasn't last minute. I even ordered the glasses ahead of time. We had actually planned to drive to the Path of Totality about 3 or 4 hours away, but I woke up in the morning and I just could not do it. But what do both of these things have in common? A woman praising me for returning a cart and our solar eclipse failed plans? The answer is quality of life. Now stick with me here while I explain. Complex trauma refers to the end result of growing up in a dysfunctional family during some very important years of life, usually birth through 18 years old. You don't have to have all 18 years filled with like chaos and dysfunction, but usually it's a long span of time where you didn't have very much security or safety. You had too much stress for your nervous system to handle. And so your brain does a thing where it makes meaning out of what happened. And that meaning shapes how you view everything else in life. And as you know, the meaning that it creates are distortions. Your little mind was trying to figure out how to stay safe in chaos. And so it did the best it could. Of course, the quality of life while living in chaos or dysfunction is usually not great. But still worse is the meaning your child mind created. Think about it. This distorted meanings your mind assigned to what your childhood meant has shaped everything in your life into adulthood. That makes me want to scream and cry. It is so unfair that the crap in my childhood shaped my life because the things that I didn't have control of that once caused me pain and suffering is still causing my pain and suffering today. I, on one hand, am grateful that I've been blessed with the understanding of all of this, even if I'm 50 and still healing it all. And on the other hand, I'm so ticked that I didn't learn all of this sooner. This week, I'm really longing for a better quality of life. I'm seriously becoming aware of how the quality of my life stinks. All the work that I have done has uncovered a new area to turn my attention to, quality of life. And actually, I was just flipping through the old documents I've written back in 2020 that I use for inspiration. And back in 2020, I wrote about the quality of my life and how I wanted to level that quality of life up. So apparently, this has been on my mind for a while. When I'm speaking of quality of life, I'm referring to the satisfaction and the good feelings that my life brings me. And not just one area of life, but all the areas. So physically, mentally, emotional, physical, mental, emotional well-being, and my relationships, my ability to contribute to my community, my environment, including my material things, my time, and my personal fulfillment. So to my surprise, as I review this stuff, I have worked on several of these areas, but there's still a few that are really dampening my quality of life. Quality of life is a concept, and so each and every one of us can kind of have our own definition of what that means. But I want to share what I'm referring to. So I kind of thought of a few good examples that show you without a doubt what I'm talking about. I personally love time period movies and shows. Think about like Downton Abbey, Lark Rising, Poldark, and shows like that. And some books and movies I can think of are Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility, Persuasion. And so if you've watched any of those kinds of shows or movies or read any of those books, you know that people are divided into classes. The more money you have, the better your life. And there's this whole royalty thing, I know, but let's leave that out for this conversation. The people who have the most money have the better quality of life. The people with money, they ate better and healthier. They had time for social visits and parties, bettering themselves by learning pianoforte, as they call it, art and horseback riding. I know I'm simplifying it, but compared to, let's say, the people of the village who had to work for the royals or on the land and had to worry about like every single meal, they didn't have someone cooking for them. They had to like cook. They had to grow their own food to eat. They had to worry about feeding their families and had to plan for it all. They had the washing and the cooking and like all the stuff with none of the modern conveniences that we have and not having a staff to do those things for them. They have to think about their daily living needs and they don't have a lot of time to add to the quality of life that they could, you know, had they had all the servants and whatnot. So now let's bring it back to today. So we have so many comforts of life, and yet so many people are living in the fight or flight state. And when we live that way, we're so consumed by thoughts of the past and so worried about tomorrow that we have no time for today and the quality of our life today. When I was in my darkest days, I literally was living like the people in the village. I'm just going to be completely honest here. It was some pretty dark days for me. I wasn't a clean person. I was so depressed that I didn't even have the energy to get up and move. And most of the time I felt filled with sadness. And so I wasn't thinking about things like cleaning myself or showering or cleaning the house, the dishes, brushing my teeth, not even something I remembered most days. And the house was a mess. But I always had to think about the next meal because I had four kids. And so that was always like a big stress on my mind. I didn't think about saving money for vacations or fixing the house up when things broke or paying bills. I just lived from paycheck to paycheck. And if something broke or someone said, let's go do such and such, I would just pay for it or just go do it and pay the price later. I didn't pay attention to the quality of my life. I didn't have time for any extra things in life that would that add to quality of life, that allow you to stop and be present and enjoy some things. My heart really breaks for anyone who's living this way or anyone who has lived this way. No one in our life is teaching us that we're creating our reality and that it's probably because they don't know that they're creating their lives. That's why they're not teaching us. So when I say the distorted meaning your mind assigned to what your childhood meant has shaped everything in your life into adulthood, this is what I'm talking about. There's no need to live the way we live. We had enough money to cover our needs, our wants and desires. We could have managed the money and had more than enough. My distorted thoughts were what caused me to create the painful life I was living. I thought that only that people only liked me if I did something for them. That distortion caused me to feel empty and alone. I thought that for my mom to love me, I had to be the same as her. Or even worse than that, I thought I had to be a part of her. That distortion kept me from knowing myself and having any idea of who I truly was, my own identity. I also thought there was only two ways of doing things, the right way and the wrong way. So that caused me to judge other people, and it kept people away from me, which left me lonely. My distorted thoughts from my childhood kept me blowing things out of proportion and imagining the worst possible outcomes, assuming that I knew what other people were thinking, and usually that assumption included they were thinking bad things about me. The list goes on and on. And this is why I podcast, even though I really worry about what people will think about me. I don't want one more person to live in the pain. That's not necessary if you're willing to do the work. We get to have a good life. We get to feel good about ourselves and feel good about other people. Think about it. Do you ever get resentful of other people because they don't invite you places or include you? Or you feel resentful because you have to do everything? Where's the community? Where's the help? Do you ever get resentful because you feel like other people are having a better quality of life than you? It seems like maybe they're happier. Or like you give your all and nobody reciprocates. Think about how much joy those thoughts are robbing from you. Now think about how much pain it's actually causing you. The hours of sleepless nights and the sadness. Those thoughts and those feelings, they stem from your childhood. Your mom or your dad, they didn't know how to love you the way that you needed. And sometimes yelling at you when maybe they should have pulled you close, or not allowing you to display negative feelings, not realizing that in the long run, if you suck them down, they'd eventually come out 10 times as strong. Or maybe your dad was emotionally unavailable and it left a hole in your heart. Or your parents fought and yelled and screamed, or you were bullied, or you were poor, and on and on. Complex trauma is literally stealing the quality of your life. Complex trauma isn't a death sentence, but it does mean that until you heal, you will never be able to see the quality of life that was meant for you, the joy and the happiness, the belonging. The meaning that our mind made from our negative childhood experiences are called cognitive distortions. Cognitive distortions are patterns of irrational thinking that can cause you to have negative emotions and behavior. And originally, we made those thoughts as children. So like, if I want my mom's love, I need to make sure to be exactly like her. And so growing up, though, I never replaced that thought. Basically, my mind said, if I want my mom to give me the love I need, I need to do or think or be exactly who she is. Or let's say vulnerability, showing up in the world who I truly am. And if you were bullied, that could cause you to think that if you're vulnerable, you will be bullied. You see, you took the experience of being bullied and you gave it meaning. Your mind did that to keep you safe. But the truth is that the bully had the problem and was a mean jerk who caused you pain. Who knows why? Who knows what they were going through? But it wasn't about you. Yet, here you are hiding yourself so that no one will see the true you. So in healing complex trauma, you have to look at these false meanings. You have to identify these and challenge these distortions, which is such an important part in healing from complex trauma. What is the thinking distortion and why do you have it? You're on a personal healing journey, and identifying distortions that stem from childhood meaning is the work. At least it's a big part of the work. So in the example of the child being bullied, one meaning that we talked about them learning is vulnerability equals pain. So the child grows up hiding how they really feel, what they think, and what they want. Heck, you know what? A lot of times that person is even hiding that information from themselves. So they truly don't even know or have that information readily available. Also, remember, the child didn't come to this thinking in a rational way. The mind of the child made the meaning. A lot of that meaning is shaped by the sum of their experience so far in life. So they didn't realize they even gave a meaning to the bullying. But let's say now the child is grown up and is working in a job that they found something they're really good at and they got a job in the industry. But instead of going and doing that thing that they love, they work under someone who isn't as good as they are. And the person is taking the credit for their work. And so that's an example of identifying work that needs to be done. The person starts thinking, why the heck can I step up at work and toot my own horn once in a while? How can I let someone else take credit for my work? And then they start searching for their own truth. I personally love talking to someone about it myself. Able to hear myself talk, and I literally, as I'm saying it, I hear the answer. I talk weekly to a few trusted friends, and as you know, I also have gone to therapy, and whenever it's necessary and it comes up again, I do return to therapy. Journaling is also a way that helps me. In your journaling, you can ask a question like, what happened in my childhood that makes me afraid to shine in front of others? And then just start a brain dump or start a stream of consciousness writing. Put pen to paper and write whatever comes out. This does take some time. Time to bring forward the things in your mind that relate to hiding yourself. Maybe some experiences. Maybe time to process the experience. Even with more journaling. Time to integrate this new understanding. This understanding of an experience in life that caused you to feel like you couldn't shine. And so you want to incorporate that new understanding into your life and find out, what does that mean for you now? How can you revisit that thought and change maybe the definition of what it means for you? So sometimes when we're doing this work, we have to stop and we have to go through the process. Like, for instance, a bully bullied me because he was troubled. That didn't mean that I was a sucky person. Doesn't mean anything about me. Sometimes when people are mean, it's about them. And then start small with being vulnerable to one trusted friend and grow from there. And then you sometimes need time to deal with the totality of the whole concept of the event that affected your life. Like, for instance, the loss that you feel. Realizing how many years you spent because of the meaning that your child mind created, hiding yourself when truly you were great at something or maybe a lot of things and would have enjoyed doing those things in a more forward role where people could see you and acknowledge your hard work and your skill and your talent. This is just one example that we're talking about, but you hopefully get the concept or the understanding. When you feel a problem that comes up in life, you stop and you look at it and you ask yourself these questions. You find out, do your own digging and finding out of what's going on and how you came to this idea, this distortion, and doing the work yourself. There are many of these cognitive distortions, and you probably have if you have complex trauma, you probably have a touch of each, but a few of the incorrectly assigned meanings that you really brought into your life will be your biggest hurdles. And you'll work on those again and again in cycles and in layers. And each time you work on it, you level up. So what do complex trauma and the quality of life have in common? Complex trauma stole the quality of life in your childhood. And now again, as an adult, complex trauma is still stealing your quality of life. And what does the woman praising me for returning a cart and our solar eclipse failed plans have to do with the quality of life? Well, when the woman was pouring praise, I realized that in the past, when I didn't return my cart, it was because I was busy with just living and breathing. And I couldn't muster the inner strength to return the cart, the energy, any of it. I just couldn't do it. And now that I've healed, the quality of my life is so much better that returning the cart isn't even a thought. I just do it. I'm living in the present, and so I can enjoy the moment that it takes to return the cart. And the failed plans to see the solar eclipse were an attempt to enjoy something joyful and awe-inspiring. And again, they were plans to increase my quality of life. And I will celebrate that. How wonderful is it that I am planning joy? That shows growth and healing on my part. But also, because I'm healing, sometimes I have to take a beat. Like today, I literally wanted to experience of having the whole family see the eclipse together. And not just the eclipse, but 100% of the eclipse. In our area, we only had 93% of the eclipse. And we ended up doing something better. We cooked out in our backyard. I also have done something that I have rarely done before, and that's prepared. So we had glasses for the solar eclipse. And that added to the quality of our experience and therefore the quality of our life. We just sat outside in the warm sun and enjoyed spring, our family, and some nice food. No stress. And we got to see 90-something percent of the solar eclipse, which was still an awesome experience. We still got to see some darkness, and we got to look directly at the sun with our glasses. So I think it was a win. Thank you for joining me today. I know your time is valuable, and I appreciate that you chose to come here. Remember to go to the show notes and grab your free mini workbook. It's designed to help you identify complex trauma and figure out if you could have it so that you can break lifelong patterns that may be keeping you feeling stuck and alone. This resource is your first step towards healing and recovery, so go get the mini workbook to start uncovering answers today. It's straightforward, it's supportive, and it's yours for free. Begin your journey to understanding and healing now. The link is in the show notes, and I'll see you next week.